Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning, everyone. As I've been introduced, Carmel Napier, the Chief Constable of Gwent, and the real privilege since 2010 to be the Association of Chief Police Officers for the 43 forces in England and Wales, lead for domestic abuse and the associated activity. What I'm going to talk about today is breaking the cycle, improving services together for victims and perpetrators at reduced cost. And for me, this is a leadership challenge. It's about changing what and how we respond to domestic abuse. And hopefully to talk today, both online and within the room, about what I believe is the huge cultural shift required, because this really is something which is in within all our hands that we can do. We've got to change about how we work, because we've heard from Nikki about the context in what we're working in. We need to focus not on us as service providers, but on the service users. That's victims, families, perpetrators, and communities. And as leaders, we need to think, feel, and behave radically differently. And above all, I'm going to say to you all today, we need to be really bold. Because remember, it really is in our hands to change lives. We can equip and motivate our teams, our people, our communities, our victims and our perpetrators to actually change their lives. And we can, I strongly believe, deliver an enhanced service at what we must do at reduced cost. So what am I going to cover today? I'm going to very briefly remind each other, which we have already had a bit of it this morning on the context, identify what I believe are the key challenges faces, what I'm going to do and not going to do about it. I'm going to tell you what my leadership is about, what my vision for domestic abuse is about, our proposed solutions, which we're going to take to the Association of Chief Police Officers in the autumn, having worked with the other agencies, the accountability issue in relation to the performance framework, some frontline responses ideas, and the opportunity to take questions at the end. So if we look at domestic abuse, volume crime counts for 392,000 incidents a year. Those 392,000 incidents a year are from police data only, because interestingly, the data held by many other agencies is not retained, held, shared, or that type of level. Repeat victimisation of those 392,000 incidents accounts for 66%. That's of those that are reported to us. So actually, if we get our processes right and we can look at addressing that demand by looking at cause and effect, both for victim and perpetrator, actually we can do more for less. As we've heard, domestic abuse accounts for 1 in 7 of all recorded violent crime, and on average, tragically, 2 women a week and 7 men every quarter will be killed. Clearly, domestic abuse has a huge impact on children and families, neighbours and communities, and each murder, as we know, and as Laura said, costs over £1 million. And the cost to the taxpayer of domestic abuse, when you look at the demand and consequences on all services, is estimated to be £3.9 billion a year. So one of the things I'd be saying to everybody who's listening today is, in your organisation, how much of a priority is domestic abuse to you? I'm delighted to say it's a key objective for Welsh Government. It's actually one of the few governments that has it in its programme for government. And for UK government, directly and personally led by the Home Secretary, Theresa May. In Welsh Government, they have a brilliant 10,000 Save a Lives project, which actually we'd look to be taken across to England early next year. And Welsh Government, the Right to be Safe, and the equivalent UK government's violence against women strategies. The Welsh Government are developing a domestic abuse bill, and there's lots of activity going on regarding human trafficking, female genital mutilation, and forced marriage. So let me just give you a flavour of the costings when we get it wrong. In 2010, it was a tragic murder in Gwent. It took a senior investigating officer structured, supported by 33 detectives, substantial multi-agency involvement before and after with the victim and her families. There's a long-term family liaison strategy in place, huge forensics cost to support the investigation. The community impact has been huge in relation to families, communities and all agencies. 15-month investigation, and it's still ongoing. Still ongoing is the Coroner's Court, the Independent Police Complaints Commission investigation in relation to the police actions or inactions, domestic homicide reviews, serious case reviews. I could go on and on and on. And all this within the context in UK of overall budget constraints. And for all organisations, it's a big issue on reputation and even bigger about public confidence in our services. So why is this happening and why are the deaths still occurring? Why do we all keep going to the same addresses and why are we continuing to spend nearly £4 billion in the UK on domestic abuse? We look at the services impact. We have a high volume of repeat incidents and crimes reported to the police and to other agencies. There are high levels of risk, threat and harm to individuals, to children, to families and sometimes to communities. There are huge reputational and public confidence issues about service users, their views of what we do or not do. There's a massive issue, as we know today, particularly on budget, the issue about value for money. And actually, the issue about, I think, austerity, for me as the ACPO lead, has been an opportunity to focus minds on where we are and what we need to do differently. There needs to be partnership and cross-portfolio working. And when we look at partnership and cross-portfolio working, have we got a seven-day-a-week service, a 24/7 day-need service against that risk, threat, harm and need? And with the acceptance of the blue light services and organisations like Women's Aid and Women's Refuge, then tragically not. And why not? Who is responsible and accountable for what? We know from, like we've heard from Laura and Nikki, about the lessons learned, and those are many repeat themes from the IPCC, Domestic Homicide Review, Serious Case Reviews. And actually, like for all of us, I think we're firefighting. We're in a current reactive rather than that preventative focus that we've heard clearly from Women's Aid. What better mission could you have? Prevention, protection and provision. Let's look at the cause, let's look at the effect and let's get ahead of it. Because it's a burning platform for every one of us in society. And it is one of those things that certainly keeps me awake at night and should be keeping every one of us and the key service providers awake at night. The challenges facing us are about putting the victims first. It's about having services to support and deal with perpetrators. Because as Laura said, you can't deal with one without the other. It's about addressing society and cultural awareness, their values and their standards. It's about defining the police and other agencies' roles, responsibilities and accountabilities. It's about public sector arrangements. I joined the police service 29 years ago and we were talking about other agencies working different hours than they do currently at the moment. From actually hospital and emergency provision, we're still in the dark ages of A&E and everything shutting at, you know, at 5-6 o'clock in majority of areas and no local provision. And that's right the way across all public sector arrangements. We have huge inconsistencies and approaches in many agencies and huge duplication of effort, which wastes money and costs lives. And we have a confusing domestic abuse definition, and I'm delighted to say that with the support of the Home Office and many of the third and statutory agencies, that's currently being addressed through a pilot at the moment, with a view to lowering the age to under 16. And above all, we must align resources to meet demand, because the opportunity in a crisis is a horrible word to use. But actually, the austerity, certainly in the police service, and I know in many agencies, is focusing minds. We've got to change. To do nothing now is not an option. That austerity will force change, and we'll come to some of my proposals about how do we do it. But the consequences of us not changing, doing business as we've always done, 2 women a week, 7 men every quarter, and clearly the other impact on families is huge, and they will carry on being in that situation. So as the Association of Chief Police Officers lead, and as the Chief Constable in Gwent, and the ability to influence, that's the privilege of the position that I hold, what am I going to do about it? Lots of current trends, actually, that from the two speakers, and we didn't get our heads together before we spoke, but it's looking at and presenting the evidence. It's about thinking and feeling. What is the stats and the performance telling us? Actually, we don't need to do any more research. There's so much bloody research written on it. Let's just bloody get on and do it. Let's look at the data, analyse it. Do you know what the data is in your own area? Let's present information logically and use that to drive change. Let's change thinking about what we do and what our staff are doing on behaviours. Let's seek the views of victims, perpetrators, families, professionals, researchers and communities. If I stopped someone on the street outside today and explained exactly as Laura's explained about the dash, they wouldn't need any complicated, they would just use their common sense and things. They wouldn't be put the complexities that professionals do around it. And so that's about us understanding about what's the blockages in our organisations and understanding where the activities and resources are spent. Do we not change because it doesn't suit us as an individual or our team or as our organisation? Because actually the evidence is there to say we must. And so we need to understand what those blockages are, who, what and why, and mobilise and work with the key influences and change it. I have a vision that I want to share with you today, and I'll be looking to develop over the next couple of months and agree with others. And I'm going to develop with others a plan and get on and deliver it. I'm going to do the old 80-20 rule. If, having looked at the evidence and sought the views of the key influencers in this area who know the data, and we have 2 sitting on the platform today, who actually can help form and shape and do it, and we're going to get on and deliver it. And that's important because in the meantime, if we don't get on and do things, if we don't identify the quick wins, improve service, create that memento, move with a coalition of willings, we're not going to save lives. And this week, remember, 2 women are going to be killed by their partner or ex-partner. It's important to say, actually, what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to go away. There's a lot of turkeys voting for Christmas here. This is not a priority on many people's agenda. And so, actually, conferences like today are really important about influencing and taking that forward. So I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to accept from anyone that this is or not on their priority. If I have to give them the business case that it's costing nearly $4 billion a year and that drives their behaviour and change, then that will be good enough for me because it will start turning that tanker around. So I'm not going to accept that they haven't got the time or the people to do the right thing. And I'm not going to accept that this is a cultural practice and that we just have to run with it and accept it from whatever community it's part of. And I'm not going to wait, as we historically have in public service, for those who don't want to move and take things forward. So we're not going to wait for those who don't want to get on the bus. And I'm not going to have a dearth of strategies, policies, business cases, which for me just procrastinate the world and actually don't take us anywhere, because it's just about delaying decision-making. So my leadership as the Association of Chief Police Officer Lead is going to be about being clear, precise and operationally succinct. It'll be about doing the right thing and deliver what we promise. It's going to be about creating that ethos of excellence of service, putting the victim first, dealing at the same time with the perpetrator, as Laura's indicated. And above all, it'll be about humanity and integrity, because this is people's lives. The great thing I've noticed in everyone I've met in this area is that they're passionate about it, and I share that passion. And it's about recognising, mentoring and rewarding our people who go that extra mile to deliver an enhanced service. Because actually, we could do 7 days a week today, couldn't we, if there was that will to do it amongst our leaders. We've got to get our people to believe it can and will be done. One of the women's aides really gave me a hard time, rightfully so, a few weeks ago when we met at a conference. In fact, I said, you need to come and speak to my leads in each of the forces, and they did. Because they said to me, Carmel, when are you going to stop two women a week and seven men a quarter being killed by their partner or ex-partner? Now, I can't do that alone, but I can mobilise, and I need every other agency and community member to take their responsibility and us work together on it. So it haunts us, and it should haunt us until we can get it, everybody playing their part, because this is about team. It's not about silo organisations or individuals. And I think on my behalf and every one of us, it's about tough love, actually. It's about tough leadership, challenging some very traditional processes, and it's about sheer hard work, about being there to pick people up and get them to move forward with us. So what's my vision? It'll be about working with partner agencies and across the police service to deliver the Women's Aid vision, actually, about that prevention's focus. It's about improving service delivery by taking a victim-centre approach. I was in a meeting the other day, and we'll talk about one of the processes, where one of my health colleagues, when I sort of said about the seven-day-a-week service, when they'd done a bit of a review for me, I said, you haven't addressed the service provision. Because the cops are turning up, and where then on in the evening or on a weekend, where, believe it or not, unsurprisingly, it's not rocket science, is it? Most of the events tend to happen is that there's no service provision there. I thought I'd put a grenade in the room. Well, my contract of employment is Monday to Friday, 8 to 4, 9 to 5, you know, on that thing. Well, I said, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about if we were to design a service, have we designed the service with a victim-centred approach in your agency? And we need to provide, because that's what's essential, a timely and effective quality service to victims and their families. Because if we don't, within 30 minutes or an hour of the police arriving, they're into survival mode. We can do the bit about securing and golden hour investigation and all that type of thing, accepting that we're not there every time, but we'll get there. But actually, that timely and effective quality service to victims and their families is important. And we need programmes that hold perpetrators to account for their actions and provides them with the support to address their behaviours. Because the criminal justice process is just one part of it, and one could argue sometimes, quite often, that's not what the victim's focus is about. But we can do that. It's about providing that value for money, timely, efficient and effective integrated services to victims, their families and their perpetrators. So it's the Women's Aid, people, partnership and purpose. So what are the our first step solutions? The great privilege about being a chief constable is that you can, in your own force area, just make things happen. And I gave this an awful lot of thought. I run my force every day on 8:30 every morning. I hold a conference call on the critical issues of risk to the force that have happened over the last 24 hours and those predictor ones that we know that have got coming in over the next 24, 48 hours. And we run that, well, right the way across an organisation of 2,500 people. And it worked about driving where we are. So my force has a budget of 130 million. I've got one of the largest budget cuts in England, in Wales, to make. I've got to make a budget cut of £34 million. I've taken 20 million out of my organisation. I have more police officers and community support officers on the street than I ever had, supported by holistic investigation. And my force is now, in England and Wales, one of the top improved forces about how it delivers its business. So actually, like as a leader, getting a grip of what happens sort of works. And we translated our chief officer-led conference call into a multi-agency domestic abuse conference call, what we affectionately call DAC, because we like shortening things in the sort of service. And that is about every incident that the police, and should any other agency know of or about domestic abuse, is put on a confidential SharePoint IT system. It removes bureaucracy, duplication and over-audit. It enables each agency to check the data on their victims and perpetrators, and for a holistic and timely public sector approach within a 24-hour period of services provided to victims and perpetrators. And the focus then is about getting it right first time, on time, for every agency. It's about early information sharing. Above all, it's key because it's about early intervention. And it's very clear about defining over that telephone conference call people's specific roles, responsibilities and accountability. And it reviews, as Laura's indicated, that risk management plans that are in place for victims, the children and the perpetrators. And what that has delivered and driven is a consistent and a holistic approach to domestic abuse. We look at what we in the police service and other blue light services call critical incident considerations. We mobilise and use and adhere strongly to that DASH risk assessment tool. And for me, that's a given right the way across the service. We use the police service national decision-making model, which actually is very similar to the DASH, but that's a generic role that they use. We are looking at that definition changes, and actually in one of my local authority areas, we're piloting that on the under 16. Strong, robust supervision model for our officers that are attending incidents, closely supervise the risk management and safety plans. And the key bit, which is taken from the Deloitte experience in America, which links in with Laura about learning from others, about my specialist investigating team own every case of domestic abuse. So that's not about them doing hindsight of the uniform officer that deals with the cases. They have to take the case and actually own and investigate it, and don't just deal with that spontaneous incident that the uniform officer may well have dealt with, but actually take a holistic approach to the whole investigation and that issues that have arisen in that history of that relationship. That has been really key, in that just in 6 months, by moving that process, you are three times more likely to go to court and be convicted in Gwent of domestic abuse. Now, if we can do it in one area, I know when I take it to my ACPO colleagues through the Association of Chief Police Officers Crime Business Areas over the summer to implement formally in the autumn, that actually it's a compelling case that it works. And that early multi-agency involvement through the DAC process that we put in place meets the needs of children, victims and perpetrators, and encourages a regular review and performance outcome. Interestingly, when we introduced the DAC, every case that previously had been risk assessed by the attending officers as standard actually has increased the number of those to being high. And I think it links in with this bit that Laura's been saying, that as soon as you put particularly health information available on the table, your number of victims that are high category substantially increased. But actually, in 12 months, we reduced our repeat incidents and calls by 26%. And that is because of the timely and efficient and effective response that other agencies mobilising with the police service put behind it. So you have to do both, because there's no simple answer to these aspects of it. So just quickly looking at the performance, if what we measure gets done, doesn't it? And I think, actually, apart from probably the uniform officer attending, actually there's been little single police and very little multi-agency performance roles, accountability and assessment framework. And so these are some of the proposals that you'll see up there, from the first point of contact to the timely and effectiveness of all agency service provisions that we're suggesting would be a good model to look at across other agencies in relation to roles and accountabilities. The other developments that we're looking nationally with other agencies are the Domestic Abuse Investigation Evidence Checklist, which is now with the Crown Prosecution Service and the Association of Chief Police Officers to formally ratify. The indications are that they will. Clare's Law, which is the right to know, right to ask. I know you'll have loads of questions on, but the Home Secretary is due to launch that in July for the first pilot which goes live, which is in my force area in Wiltshire. The Domestic Violence Protection Orders, which we've heard from Nikki about this morning. Work is ongoing with the IPCC about restorative justice, conditional cautioning and cautioning. There's a pilot on conditional cautioning, the only authorised one from the Home Secretary in Hampshire at the moment, and restorative justice and cautioning, actually, interestingly, all of us from all agencies have agreed with the IPCC that we don't agree with it happening for domestic abuse cases for the police to do it. And the next formal meeting on that happens in July, where some guidance to police forces through myself will then come out. We need to be looking, and work is ongoing with the Home Office on perpetrators programme, evaluations and standards, what should the model be. The workplace policy, some excellent work has been done as a result of the tragic cases that Laura has heard this morning about people's vulnerability. Actually, you are just as vulnerable as you are at work as you are at home. What are the education programmes and opportunities for all agencies in educating young people, probably at school, universities and college, about what is acceptable behaviour within relationships, and to look at the wider LGBT, disability, BME, gypsy and traveller issues that moving in take forward. Vodafone, the Home Secretary, is due to as a discrete technique that we have to support victims is called Tech SOS. Actually, the Home Secretary is due to do a covert, discreet launch of that in the next couple of months. And that's Vodafone's investment into this really important area of policing. And the multi-agency safeguarding hub principles are being adopted in many forces across the UK. And we've got a fantastic campaign in Ireland, in Wales, about the 10,000 saver lives, about what are those small steps that we need to take. The DAC is one of those small but big impact issues that can help save lives. So just to sum up there, other developments are about the Domestic Abuse Bill in Welsh Government, which will be interesting to see how that influences UK Government, forced marriage legislation, the Police Service Wales and England National Standards of Operating, which I've talked about, will be taken to the ACPO Council in July. Developments around the female genital mutilation that you will have seen in national news, human trafficking, exciting work on missing persons, because we know that that links very closely to this area of the business, the Violence Against Women's Bills, and the Police and Crime Commissioners, who go to the electorate on the 15th of November and start their new role as a commissioning agent above Chief Constables and replacing police authorities on the 22nd of November. So the leadership challenges sound huge, but I think some of it is about getting the basics right, changing what and how we all respond to domestic abuse. Remember, for me, it's about every one of us being bold. It's about leadership. It's really in our hands to save and to change lives. And we can and will do it. And I think we just need to get on and do it. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.